Hello, welcome back to Black Hole Sun Podcast. I'm your host, Moss, and it's episode 50. Yay! Boo, 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 boo! Also, the windows are open and I'm not in my studio closet. So if you hear birds chirping and trains are riding and cars are honking, I apologize. I wanted to do this episode and be comfortable because I have to stand in the studio closet. So, yeah, anyway. Episode 50. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening. We're going to talk about a very controversial person. Why until probably a week ago did I not know about this woman? Her name is Gwen Shamblin Lara. Holy crap, she is, I don't want to say iconic, because, I mean, what she did is pretty terrible. I want to say she's a queen of hot mess. So let me just give you just a quick breakdown about Miss Shamblin Lara. Gwen Shamblin Lara was an American author and founder of the Christian diet program, The Weight Down Workshop, and founder of the Remnant Fellowship, which is a church. She is the subject of the 2021 HBO Max docuseries, The Way Down, and that's where I found out about her. Actually, I can't remember the YouTube channel that did like a mini doc series on her, but I found her that way, and then I went to check out the docuseries. Holy crap. Holy crap. She is truly a grifter. That's the only way of putting it. What a grifter. And it's like, not even like grifter, just like grifter. She is a Christian grifter. Oh, what are those? Ah, gosh, who could have saw that coming? You know, her early life, she grew up in Tennessee. She went to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. She got an undergrad degree in dietary whatever. And she went to Memphis State. She was into, you know, her health and her life. She was raised in the Church of Christ. She had two kids and a bunch of grandkids. She was married. But we're going to get to that part. There's just so many elements to her story that are just like, holy cow. First thing I want to talk about, because of course, she started a weight loss workshop program, which I'm just like, wow, amazing. And I mean, wow, amazing as in that's sarcasm. Okay. So she had an issue with her weight, like in the '80s, she had a lot of issues with her weight. She loved food. She ate too much of it and she got very heavy. So she was just having trouble losing weight. And then she came across, what I could understand of what she did to lose the weight was portion control and intuitive eating. So basically she ate less and kind of, you know, listened to her own physical cues to see when she was hungry and not hungry. What I got from it, my opinion, my observation, was that she was an emotional eater, and then eventually she sort of like, you know, veered into cutting portions and kind of listening to cues to see if she was hungry. And that's how she lost the weight. So she took that element of her losing a lot of weight and made a program out of it. Of course. And but she couldn't just add those two things. No. She added the Bible because she's a good Christian woman. So she added biblical things to it. Yeah. This whole story is just like, So she added this program. Started in 1986, Lara found the Weight Down Workshop. It's a weight loss program with no food restrictions or exercise regimens or weigh-ins or calorie counting. I mean, like I said before, it is portion control and intuitive eating, which I feel like it's that sounds easy enough, but I feel that could also be incredibly hard. And as you see in the documentary later in the story, it becomes kind of obsessive to her that people be a certain physique and not gain weight back. Because as we all know, if you had any kind of struggle with weight loss, there is a potential of gaining the weight back, of course, with any, even a good regimen. There's always potentials. There's plateaus. There could be any elements that can happen. You can be ill. You can be, just lifestyle changes can kind of wreck any kind of regimen. So her whole workshop was, this whole, portion control, intuitive eating, but also adding in, like, if you're hungry, it's obvious that she was against the emotional eating, which of course it's bad. We should learn how to self-soothe ourselves without stuffing food in our mouths, but it takes people longer to figure that out. And I think the problem with a lot of these diet trends and diet workshops is that we don't talk about the emotional part of emotional eating. People just want to see quick fixes, and they don't want to deal with that emotional part. If you're emotionally eating, there's obviously something else wrong with you besides stuffing your face. Just my two cents. So her whole thing was like, if you want to go eat, the refrigerator's the devil, go pick up your Bible and read a verse. So basically that's it. That was her sort of suggestion to help you out. Which is like, okay. But I feel like even that, like if you think about it, it's like, yeah, but then if you know anything of weight loss, like I said before, you know that if, you have to figure out different things to kind of keep yourself occupied and not bored. Because if you keep doing the same regimen or the same thing, even with like working out, like you could be doing cardio and weightlifting, but you have to switch it up. You can't do the same thing over and over and over and over every day, like obviously. So there are some pitfalls in that. As nice as it sounds, with some pitfalls. So then in 1999, Ms. Shamblin founded the Remnant Church, Remnant Fellowship Church. It was, I believe the actual church building finished in 2004, and it was like this big old Sprouse, ginormous mega church in Brentwood, Tennessee, which Brentwood, Tennessee, from what I saw and what I researched, is a very affluent neighborhood in Tennessee. Like everyone there, you don't live in Brentwood unless you got some money. So, this church, there was this ginormous church for this fellowship. And then like not too many miles away was her house, which is like ginormous as well. So, she was doing good for herself. Going back to the weight down diet thing, which was first just workshops at different churches, she in 1987 actually published a book. She published the book and it started selling, and she was going on interviews, people wanted to meet her, all sorts of things like that. And people wanted to meet her and get to know her better. And that's when the problem starts. She would be in interviews saying like very off-putting things about diet and health and whatever. And and then she said a lot of things she shouldn't have, and the diet kind of fell to the wayside. But in the church itself is where there was more controversy. Let's be honest, it wasn't a church, it was a cult. It was a cult. She wanted people to kind of if you were at the church, you had to do the weight down diet, right? She also, because she had so much money, she owned different properties and different kind of businesses, so she wanted members of the church to work at the businesses. So everybody was kind of, everything in your life as a member of this church was interconnected, and it was very much a cult. It sounded like Jonestown from what I saw. People can report each other, like wives report on husbands, neighbors would report, everyone was kind of like, but it was like, it had a very nefarious kind of connotation. And if you think about it, if you think about it, you know, she had people working at her companies. So, and at the church, they're giving them money. So she always got the money back from the same people. She had a very interesting way of disciplining children. And there was a murder case of two of the followers, Joseph and Sonia Smith from Georgia, that happened. They had an issue with one of their sons in 2003, in October. So Joseph was trying to discipline their son, and they were very much about, and also Gwen was okay with this too. She was like, oh, kid needs to be hit. Apparently Joseph hit him so hard, he killed him. Yeah, so they were having trouble with the son. What I could see is probably the son was having issues with probably, who knows, with probably something that would have been helpful if they allowed him to be on medication. Oh, that was the other thing that I may have forgotten to say. So Gwen didn't believe in God, medicating your depression, medicating any disabilities. So any mental issue you had was some sort of like, God, I can't believe she even said this, but it was like devil's work. Let's say you had maybe ADHD or had depression and you needed to get on medication. Gwen didn't believe in that. She believed that your Bible will help you, God will help you, pray to God, you get on this weight loss you get on her weight loss program and you'll be fine. You don't need medication because you have the church and you have your Bible and you have Jesus. And it's all a sin if you take medication. So going back to the story of Joseph and Sonia Smith and their son, what I understand is they were having a lot of issues with their son, and it seemed like maybe the kid was suffering from hyperactivity, probably needed to be medicated, probably had some mental issues. But since they didn't believe in medication, what was recommended by the church was to give him a good beating, like each kid should get a spanking. But unfortunately, Joseph and his wife took it too far, and they beat him, and then I saw two docs. One said that they beat him, and of course you gotta understand that there's variations of the story. So one, I believe the doc on HBO said that they had beat him, and then put him in like a wooden like trunk, and when he popped his head up from the trunk because he couldn't breathe, they kind of knocked it down, and it caused a concussion, and they taped up the trunk. And there was like no air, and the kid suffocated on top of having like physical abuse from earlier in the day. So long story short, the child died, and they, Joseph and his wife were on trial, and Remedy Church paid for it. And they even did some sort of campaigning to say that the state of Georgia was doing a smear campaign against, the Smith family and the Remley Church. And this was like, somehow they didn't do this. This was like, you know, mishandling of the Georgian police and all this stuff. And but they ended up being convicted of murder. They're in life prison for 30 years for killing their son, because they, you know, they beat him. And that was one of the first controversies in her life. She herself, Gwen, she had a lot of other controversies. Obviously, she had her hand, like, she created a cult. So, she had her hands in everyone's pocket. She had everybody kind of controlled. And she had this, another thing on top of beating your child, like spanking them, she'd say that that women need to be submissive to men, never get divorced, never, you know, the man's in charge, the man's the boss, until, well, we'll save that for later. She was married to her husband, David Shamlin, since 1978. They had two kids. They built this church, but David himself wasn't present. He wasn't around. He was not like in the vicinity. People didn't really see David. He was there. He was obviously funding her career. And he was not around. So, and she was a firm believer of, you know, no divorce. We're not gonna, you know, just divorce until, I'm gonna say it now, until she divorced David, because they married in 1978, 40 years later, and she met someone else. She met a B-list TV actor by the name of Joe Lara. So she met Joe, and her whole kind of life and disposition changed. And so then after she met Joe, she was like, you know what? Divorce ain't that bad. You could do it. You've got, you know. Reminds me a lot of, like, I don't know if you're familiar, you guys listening, remember, you know, Henry VIII had his first wife, and then he met Anna Boleyn, and then he was all like, you know what? I gotta get a divorce. Because I like this Anna person better than my wife. And the church was like, no, you can't do that. And he tried to create rules and try to go against the church. And when he couldn't do that, he just accused, you know, he was very, you know, with his other wife, he was good at accusing them of, like, doing things that they didn't do, you know. So this kind of sounds like that. So she divorced her first husband, met this handsome TV actor who swept off her feet, was talking about modesty and all this other stuff until she met this dude. And suddenly she's like, divorce is okay. Don't worry about it. God forgives you. If it doesn't work out, then you might, yeah, divorce. Also, the other thing I noticed in the documentary, she was very, like, the type of person who had, like, the mom haircut and very modestly dressed. As soon as she met this dude, she had, like, this big old hair and these short dresses, and she was showing skin, and she was just like she had, like, a midlife crisis or something, and she was just, like, so alive. I mean, I gotta say, Joe Lara was a very good looking guy, but he was also a grifter too. Like, oh gosh. He moved to Tennessee. The way they met is that Joe was working part time as a carpenter, because he was in LA for a while. His backstory is also interesting. He was from San Diego. His mom remarried. His mom remarried like a multimillionaire, and Joe grew up in luxury. He wanted to become an actor. He became an actor. He was known for Tarzan in Manhattan, which I'm pretty sure I've seen, which is crazy. Yeah, I totally saw it. And he did, like, you know, B-movie stuff. And then he met this woman whose name escapes me. He was with this woman for a while. They had a child. They moved to Tennessee because he wanted to be a country singer. Because grifters are going to grift. And he wanted to be a country singer. And he had his girlfriend and his child. And then he met Gwen. And then suddenly he was like, yeah, no, I'm actually, girlfriend, I'm out. I'm going to fight you custody for that kid. And I'm going to marry this rich broad. And yeah. And suddenly he was like totally different person. He was all about religion. He had, you know, the lifestyle he wanted. He wasn't, you know, grifting. Well, he was grifting, but behind the church, obviously. Oh gosh. So yeah, no, that's Gwen's life in a nutshell, you know. Big grifting kind of situation. We're gonna take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about Gwen. And we're back. Yay. So yeah, I was so I don't know, I was so surprised because I didn't know anything about Gwen Shamblin until one day YouTube likes to suggest to me a lot of, like, docs and true crime docs and ghost story docs, and I came across this mini docuseries, and I feel terrible that I can't remember who it was by. And it talked about preacher, grifter preacher, Christian preacher, who did all these things. And usually when you see these stories, it's usually men. I have yet, this was the first time I saw a woman preacher who grifted this hard and did this and started this cult. And people call it a cult because it's truly, you know, what she created was a cult. You know, she was basically like, all right, if you're going to come to this church, this is how your life is going to be from now on. No one had autonomy over their lives. They literally were like, you're part of the church? Great. Want to make sure you lose the weight, so you're going to do my weight loss program. And you're also going to work at one of my companies, and you're going to spend all your time at church, and these are your friends, and you don't leave, and you have to, if you're a woman, you submit to your husband, and you make sure he, you know, your life is this way. If you have children, you discipline them this way, and they dress this way. That was it for a long, long time, until she divorced her first husband, David, like I've said previously, and met Joe Mara. So, to the point she met Joe Mara and divorced David, she was vastly, vastly, firmly against divorce. If you heard kind of the manifesto of this fellowship, the Remley Fellowship, it was very kind of old school Christian, like women dress modestly, this is your family, women are submissive to men, yada yada. And then she met this dude and she was like, hold my beer, nah, no. And suddenly she was like, well, you know, divorce ain't that bad. Modestly dressed, I don't know, I like short skirts and I like to show my arms, and my hair gotta get bigger, and I gotta wear high heels. And it's kind of funny visually watching that doc and seeing her transformation is hilarious. So it's terrible. It's not something we should joke about, because she probably stole so much money from everyone. And then the other thing with her weight loss program, there was let's say someone gained weight, because you can plateau on any program, because it could happen. It could be anything. It could be a litany of things that could happen to you. You just get older. Something that works for you when you're 20 won't work for you when you're 40. Anything could happen, you know? So she had severe punishments for that. She would, if it was a woman, she would make sure that her husband was spying on her, making sure she's doing the stuff, and making sure she's, you know, correctly doing it. Somehow it was your fault if you gained weight, of course, because why would it not be like, hey, you know, this isn't working anymore because I gotten older and this doesn't work for me. And now, of course, it's your fault, of course. And then there was someone in the documentary who was talking about being off their antidepressants and how it really messed them up, and how she decided to secretly start taking her antidepressants again, and how she felt better, and like nobody knew. Actually, I think her husband conspired with her to make sure she took her antidepressants. Her husband was like, as long as I don't see it and I don't know, that's fine with me. And she ended up leaving that church. Most of that doc is filled obviously with people who've left that church and everything that was going on in that church. And the suicide rate at that church was extremely high. There was a gentleman who was talking about his friend who killed himself. Especially among the younger generation, there seemed to be a lot of that. The church is still around today. So continuing on, Miss Shamblin's life. So, of course, she lived in that beautiful house real close to the church, and she lived there, and she lived there with Joe. May 29, 2021, Gwen and six leaders, including her husband Joe and son-in-law Brandon Hanna, were killed when her 1982 plane, private jet boarded for Palm Beach, Florida, crashed into Percy Priest Lake near Samara, Tennessee, shortly after takeoff. There was a few things to that part. So it's May 29, 2021. The reason they were boarding the plane, which was not a surprise to me was they were heading to Florida. And what was in Florida? Why, a rally with Mr. Donald Trump. They were humongous Trump supporters. So they were going to see Trump during the pandemic. I'm sure she didn't believe in the pandemic. She was probably like, you know what? You come to church. Pray. You don't need a vaccine. You have my weight down to these. I can go on and on about these mega churches and these just grifters who open these mega churches. There's another preacher that I want to do an episode on, because he just, like, every time I see him or anybody talks about him, he just gives me the heebie-jeebies. And it's just like a lot of these, like, I think about all these people, like Jim Baker and like with Swagger. I think it was Jimmy Swagger and it was Tim Baker. Sorry. Those guys. But there's so many of them that are still out there that are like using the guise of being preachers and having a church. They avoid paying for taxes and they have luxury lives. And they're just like enjoying the riches of the poor. And I'm sure this woman probably, exactly, no, probably, it's been proven that she's done this. They probably all got PPO loans during a pandemic. She lived a very lavish life. But her ending was kind of, I don't know. I don't know what to say about anybody's death who does such nefarious and disgusting things to people. To die. And then the other thing was her husband, who was, I'm doing air quotes, a pilot, and he used to do it all the time, had failed to do his last medical certificate. He was supposed to renew his medical certificate. There's kind of like this pilot, and if you're a pilot, you know what I'm saying. But for everybody out there, when you fly planes, you're supposed to reinsert a pilot certificate. I don't know how often. I'm assuming from what I'm reading and from what I saw, that's supposed to be every year. You're supposed to take a physical to make sure that you're okay to fly. And he hadn't done it. So this happened in 2021. He hadn't done that certificate since November of 2019. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? You have all that money, you have all that time, and you haven't renewed your physical medical certificate for flying. And you're just dancing with danger there. You're just dancing with danger. So there's that. I was so shocked. Well, no, not necessarily shocked, but it's just like, it's just still disturbing to me the level of depravity and the grifting that people will do. I'm sure Ms. Shamblin at the beginning wholeheartedly did it to help her community and help people. And then when she saw the money and she saw the fame, it kind of took over. I mean, greed's an ugly thing. Greed is a very ugly thing. And then you leave your husband for, I believe Joe was younger than her. I believe so. I believe he was younger than her. Oh yeah, totally. Not by much. He was like 58 and she was like 66. Not by much. But to leave your husband for a younger guy who's a, you know, her husband was like, that was the other thing that was very like, her husband was like an overweight guy. You never see him. Nobody ever talked about him. And then she's been married to this guy for 40 years. And then one day she's just like, well, I met this guy who played Tarzan on TV. And yeah, he's a good looking guy. Like, I will say Joe Laurie was a very good looking dude. He was like a 1980s Jared Leto. Strangely enough, he kind of looked like Jared Leto. But you know, he was, from the reports and from the people who knew him, he liked to be taken care of by rich people. He was a grifter, just like her. That's probably what started this relationship. They were both grifters, and they grifted. They grifted. They fleeced their sheep. They grifted their church. They got the money. They were having a good old time. There were people talking about how they were like on their, like, I guess Instagram or Facebook. They were posting photos of all their vacations, and then people are like, trying to pay like their I don't know what they're called. I know there's a word for it, like your church dues. There's an actual word, but I can't think of the word. People were trying to pay their actual dues and pay their bills, and they're on vacation having a good old time. I'm like, these mega churches, they disgust me. Yeah, no, that's not okay. That's not okay. So yeah, that is the story of Gwen Shamblin. Let me know in comments or messages, have you heard about the lovely Gwen Shamblin? Have you heard about her nefarious affairs? And what do you think about her? Have you watched the HBO Max docuseries? It was really interesting. Well, it was quick. It was 3 episodes, so it was really quick and pretty easy to digest. So let me know what you think. And thank you so much for listening. And until next time.